You're listening to 834's award-winning podcast, The Happy Hour Hustle. We offer listeners the chance to experience the musings, or ramblings, depending on how many glasses of wine she's had, of the one and only Kimberly J. Bodie as she interviews notable clients, upstanding community members, and random passerby. Nominations and awards pending.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Happy Hour Hustle, where we talk to movers and shakers in the community, which really have turned out to be all women thus far. I think I talked to one guy. Yeah, not that memorable, though. Just Kenny and Ron. I'm sure you're listening now. You're one of our dedicated listeners. Today, we're talking with Megan Saul, who is the city manager, assistant city manager of the city of Wyoming. I think I threw city in there like 14 times. Like, how many times do we say? Oh, assistant city manager. Okay, so Megan, before we get started, a very important question. What is one of your favorite happy hour drinks?
Well, I have to admit, I was just listening to Jen's podcast when I was coming, and I was like, darn it, I'm kind of in between an old-fashioned and a Manhattan these days, just trying to see if I can relinquish that tiny bit of sugar.
Okay, so what is an old-fashioned? What kind of alcohol does an old-fashioned have in it? Is it
bourbon?
Bourbon. And yes. Then a Manhattan is
also bourbon.
Okay.
But you can make some variations on that, okay, too.
Because I was like, I just wanted to say gin for both because I'm so classy.
Yeah, not really, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, cheers, because now we're both drinking wine, so we might as well get that.
With ice.
I with ice, you without, but you also will put ice in it sometimes. I've seen
you.
It. Just for me.
Just for you.
Okay, so what exactly does a assistant city manager do?
Right. So for a lot of people who ask me about the show Parks and Rec,
yes.
They're like, so you're Leslie Knope, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not actually Leslie Knope. I'm more of the Ben Wyatt in season 5.
I saw that on
six,
your LinkedIn, which is amazing.
Yes, thank you.
Is Ben the one she ended up marrying?
Yes,
okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So an assistant city manager can be a lot of things. In my particular role, I assist our city manager. So assistant city manager, deputy city manager, sometimes they're interchangeable.
Okay.
My main responsibilities are economic development and communications for the city and other duties as assigned. I also like to tell people that I think I am the chief idea bouncer offer for the city manager.
Nice.
So, in other communities, sometimes the assistant city manager will oversee specific departments, have direct reports, different things. For me, I'm still a little early in the role, and it's primarily the economic development.
Yeah, you've been in it since
May of last year. Coming up on a year.
Ooh, a year. Exciting.
Yeah. But this was a return for me. I worked for the city right out of college.
Okay.
It was actually an internship. Shout out for everyone who does internships that turn into a full-time job. So I was there for about 3.5 years and left to do some other things and made my return last spring.
So we'll go back to this in a second, but you were in D.C.
Yes.
And what were you doing in D.C. for a while?
Yes. So I left the city to actually go work on a congressional campaign in Michigan's 1st District, which is the UP and then Northern Lower. It was Bart Stupak's seat. And then if you recall, he flipped the health care vote that year and decided that it would not be a great idea to return. So I went to work on a campaign thinking that we would win.
Yeah.
And I would get to move to D.C. and work on the Hill for my candidate. Only minor detail, we lost by 15 votes in the primary.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that like to be waiting for that to come in? Is it, like, the worst feeling ever?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was, we were kind of in a state of shock and awe and disbelief for a while.
Yeah.
Were
you, like, recount?
It was nuts. 90,000 people voted that year.
Holy.
And somehow.
That's a lot, right? I'm not just saying that.
Well, a district is usually somewhere around 300,000 people, so it's not as many as it should be, but still, to think that that many people vote and it comes down to 15,
that's nuts. That's crazy.
Nuts.
But you did end up in D.C.
I ended up in D.C. anyways with an organization called ICMA, which is International City County Management Association.
Mm-hmm.
It is the national membership organization for local government officials.
Really? Okay.
And we were members of that when I was at the city of Wyoming, so that's how I knew about it. They had an international division. I went to work for them and was assigned to a USAID project in Afghanistan.
Okay. Did you go to Afghanistan?
I did. I mostly managed out of the home office in D.C., but I did get to go there for about 3.5 weeks in June of 2011. And it was awesome.
Was it? Okay, tell me a little bit about it, because this is fascinating to
me.
You don't have to know a lot of people that go to Afghanistan by choice.
It is kind of my trump card sometimes. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a conversation and, you know, there's a lull or I'm
the person you're talking to is boring you.
Or they're really trying to impress upon me that they are better than I am
somehow.
Once in a while, I'm not going to lie, I pull out the story.
How do you start it? Are you just like, so I was in Afghanistan. Have you been to Afghanistan?
So I recall during my experience in Afghanistan that, I flew through Dubai on my way to Afghanistan. That's terrible, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's awesome.
Oh, gosh. So we were working on this project called Ramp Up, which stood for Regional Afghan Municipal Program for Urban Populations.
Why does government love their acronym so much?
I don't know, but there are so many.
There were so many. Like, I just can't. I can't. Okay, anyway, going back to the acronym.
Anyways, we were starting up a new section of the program in the western part of the country. So if you've ever read the book A Thousand Splendid Suns, by the same author as Kite Runner.
Okay. I read Kite Runner, so I feel a little bit educated here.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. A Thousand Splendid Suns is set in a city called Herat, which is in the western part, closer to the border with Iran, and that's the city that I flew to.
Okay.
It was interesting. My flight from Dubai to Kabul, I was on a regular commercial plane, and the composition of the people on that flight was really interesting. Probably 75% military or contractors, maybe like 15% local nationals, and then 10% of us who looked like me, totally bewildered.
What are we
NGO
doing?
NGO workers. We're like, I'm just here to save the world and hug people, you know? That isn't quite what our project was. We were really working on public works projects and helping build capacity with local government officials and things like that. But
so you had to learn a lot about the culture and just the overall, like, the government there, correct?
Yeah, a fair amount. It's been pretty interesting, the manner in which aid money has poured into Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, those countries since the war. There's been a lot of money that has gone into those countries and a lot of projects. And I want to say that every one of them has been planned perfectly and has had the appropriate amount of input. But I don't know that that's necessarily true. At the same time, it was a whole new way for the people of Afghanistan to make and earn money. It was really interesting. I got to hire a lot of locals. That's primarily why I was out there, to hire. We had national staff on the ground who
were helping. You must have had an interpreter with you then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we would. But a lot of English speakers. But
really?
I also found that a lot of people that I interviewed, the majority of them were under 30, but some of them had 15, 16 years of experience on their resumes.
Really?
And it's because when the war first started and NGOs started coming, if you speak even a little bit of English, they would hire you to be a field worker or a field staffer to do monitoring and evaluation, things of that nature. And then these individuals would just move nonprofit to nonprofit to nonprofit, program to program to program. And these programs would be anywhere from, you know, a year to 3 years in length, and they would just get picked up on all these different projects, ending up with a lot of experience, but it was a new revenue source for the country, which in some ways was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of options there.
Right, exactly. So you were in D.C. working on Afghanistan project, right? Am I saying that right?
Jeez. Yes.
What did you love? So you were in D.C. Like, that is one of my favorite, like, places. Like, what did you love about it? And then why the heck did you come back?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great city. Just in terms of, I love big cities. So super diverse, you know, very metropolitan, even though it has a lot of sort of old world characteristics to it, if you will.
History,
tons of history. Love the monuments. So much culture. Tons of things to do. The people there are really interesting. I'm a bit of a type A, get it done kind of a person. And people don't end up in D.C. on accident.
Yeah.
Everybody's there to do something. Everybody's on a mission. Everybody has a goal in mind. And so you meet a lot of interesting people. And it's not uncommon to go to happy hour and meet someone and they say, so I was in Afghanistan. But before that, I was, you know, had this project in Pakistan. And, I remember that spring in Libya and yada, yada. But those are just the lives of the people there. This is so nerdy, but I remember I lived in the hill and I used to walk to my office. It was like a mile away and I'd walk past the Capitol on my way home every day. And one day I was passing a driveway and I looked and there was a minivan coming out and Paul Ryan was sitting on the passenger seat. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Paul Ryan, which is really nerdy. But when I lived in DC, someone also told me that they called DC the Hollywood for ugly people. because everyone was famous and a big deal. They just didn't look like, you right. know, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Like
and,
Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're making that connection, but I'll just go there for you.
Yeah,
so
it's just different. It's yeah. just a different context. Yeah. But yeah, I loved it, and it was great, and it was very fast-paced and very interesting. Everyone you met was so interesting. Definitely a work hard, play hard kind of a place.
Yeah.
But for me, I am a Midwestern gal. Yep. I grew up in West Michigan, and friends and family are here, and really, I think, I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but the mission that is Grand Rapids and the story that's being written here is so much more accessible than a place like D.C.
Yeah.
or Chicago or New York.
It's almost, you feel like you're playing more of a role in it. And
absolutely.
I think that's because, you know, regardless of how large Grand Rapids is, it does very much feel like a small town. And so, you know, you run into the same people. And, you know, I've always felt that way, too. I felt like I could make more of an impact here. When everybody else I went to college with, you know, was leaving and going to, like, really cool places, I was like, I'm just going to stick around and see what happens here, you know? And so 11 years later, you know, I'm still here. And I'm like, I probably should have went. Yeah, right. But I was like, I maybe should have went someplace. But, yeah. you know, like Afghanistan. No.
you can.
Yeah, well,
you
I. That's true. Wow. Put that on my bucket list. Okay, so you ended up coming back here. Is that yes. when you took the job with Right Place?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So, now, did you get recruited or?
Sort of. So a friend of mine who works at the Right Place was mm-hmm. getting ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted me one day and said, I'm leaving. We're looking for referrals. Do you have any interest at all? And I got to know the Right Place when I worked for the City of Wyoming yep. the first time. So as you can see, there's always a common thread.
Yeah.
And I had just had a conversation with my boss that day in D.C., and she was telling me how she knew I wasn't thrilled how the project was being run, but she was going to give me more of the project to manage. Mm-hmm. Did I feel okay about that? And I was like, yeah, this is great. Mm-hmm. More responsibility. And then I get this text, and I think, ooh, is it time to come yeah. home? I'd been there for a year.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about it, and obviously have been and still remain so enamored with the work at the Right Place
yep.
and the people there, and decided that, yeah, it was an opportunity I should explore. So interviewed with them, ended up getting the job, moved home Christmas of 2011, I think. So,
gosh, don't you feel old when we
yeah,
when we talk
so
about
old.
Years? Okay, so then you were there for a while, and then you went to another really great company, and then you ended mm-hmm. up back at the City of Wyoming.
Right.
So what appealed to you about being the assistant city manager?
So the work at the Right Place was very community focused.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. After that, I took a trip into the for-profit world because I'd never worked
right.
in that sector and wanted to see what it felt like. It felt great,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't exactly what fueled me in getting out of bed in the morning. It was a great organization. I loved the people I worked with. I had a ton of fun. I learned a lot of stuff. But I really think the public sector is a
yeah.
good fit for me.
I was going to say, like, when I was reading through your LinkedIn profile and, you know, some things I knew, some things I didn't, but your career has been full of public sector and community service, and
yeah.
you can tell that really fires you up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a for-profit person, and
yeah.
Someday I would still like to figure out how to make a lot of money so that I can fund all the things that I get to be a part
mm-hmm.
of now. I just haven't figured that
yeah.
out yet.
Well, if you ever run a small business, it feels a bit like a nonprofit. So, I mean, there you go. So, okay. So you ended up there. Tell us something about Wyoming that we do not know.
Mm. Well.
Because everyone just thinks Wyoming is basically an extension of GR.
Yes.
And so you're never really sure where that border is or.
Yes. So, well, can I tell you a couple things
yes.
about Wyoming you may
nope,
not
just
know?
One thing, and that's
okay.
it. Then we're done.
So the population of Wyoming is 75,000 residents, which makes us the 14th biggest city in the state of Michigan, which is significant.
Yeah.
Sometimes, just to be funny, we say Grand Rapids is our biggest suburb. It's not true, Grand Rapids. Mayor Bliss, if you're listening,
just
you know I love
down,
Grand Rapids.
Fine.
I live here. I'm a Grand Rapidian. But sometimes we say that to make ourselves feel better. 24.5 square miles. I think one of the things that's most interesting, we struggle with identity,
yeah.
which is something that you will understand well from
yeah.
the work that you do. Part of it is because we have 8 different school districts
oh, wow.
that somehow fall within our city, and mm-hmm. not all of them have students. Sometimes
yeah.
it's just a matter of where the taxing jurisdiction and the boundaries fall. Our main districts, well, we have 3 that are wholly contained within Wyoming, which are Wyoming, Godfrey Lee, and Godwin Heights. But then we also have a portion of Granville, I think there are actually now more Granville Public School students that live within the city boundaries of Wyoming than live in Granville.
Okay.
But Granville's a considerably smaller community. Yeah. I think it's 15 or 18,000.
Okay.
Kellogg'sville, and then we have a tiny bit of Byron, Kentwood, and Grand Rapids as well.
Do you guys really have a downtown or...
We have been trying.
Yeah.
That's part of the vision with 28 West,
okay,
which is 28th Street, and the work that's being done there, okay, sort of between Clyde Park and Burlingame.
Mm-hmm.
The Studio 28 property is up for sale. That's a large part of that future vision, so that's pretty exciting. But we don't.
Yeah.
And so in some ways we're sort of a commuter community,
yeah,
which is how Wyoming developed anyways.
Yeah.
If you drive, it's really interesting. If you are on, say, Byron Center Avenue,
yeah,
and you drive from the north end of town straight through to the south end, which encompasses Metro Health, when you hit M6, you're now leaving the city limits.
And that's Byron Center?
Correct.
Okay.
You can see pretty much decade by decade the different growth, and as growth has just grown out from the city center, mm-hmm, the different development patterns, which is interesting, but also makes for quite a challenge when we think about how do we address the needs of all of our residents.
Right.
Because our residents are super diverse.
Right.
So,
which is pretty awesome.
It is great, actually.
And I can only imagine the challenge that 28th Street probably poses in some regard to economic development and, you know, managing, like, who comes in there. I mean, because that's a big focus of yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when we think about what services do our residents need, you know, everybody talks about retail, and I get people who talk to me about putting an Anthropology there and then people who talk about a Walmart.
Yeah.
So really the answer is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But if we're really going to serve our residents, we have to think about the populations that live
right
in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the average median income in Wyoming is really around, I think, mid to high 40s.
Okay.
Somebody making mid to high 40s isn't necessarily going to have the means to shop at Anthro.
Right.
But
I can't even shop at Anthro.
Right.
I don't know why I said that, because I'm obviously way ahead of that median. No, I can't even afford Anthro. I mean
the sale rack.
Right. Well, right, obviously.
I love the sale rack, mm-hmm, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But really, that's what we have to think about. So how do we serve the needs of our residents? How do we plan for the future and
yep
manage for today? Housing, obviously, that's a big conversation in all of West Michigan. And so when I think about replacing some of the retail that was there, I'd really love to see a strong housing component be a part of that. Because there's also the questions about the future of retail.
Right.
How are we going to want brick and mortar?
Yeah.
Are people going to drive to stores?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard,
yeah,
to figure out how best do we serve the needs of our residents.
Right.
And really, it comes down to asking the questions and asking the residents. But it's not an easy thing to be in city government these days. And I know that it's easy to see things from the outside,
yep,
and assume. And certainly, everyone is entitled to their opinion and their own perception of how they view things. But I just always encourage people to ask the questions.
Yeah.
Because there's usually an explanation.
Right. And it's never an easy answer. There's never, it's never black or white. There's always, you know, I would say the majority of the time you're living in the gray area.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you questions. You say the first thing that comes into your head.
I'm really nervous about
all right
this.
It's going to be real, real stressful. Okay, let's see. One word to describe yourself. Oh, really? That's good. That's good. That's a good one.
Terrified.
Oh, terrified. That's good. That is the least description of you.
Optimistic.
Oh, I like that. That's
mm-hmm
awesome. Favorite beer?
Favorite beer?
Yeah. Do you even like beer?
I do, but I don't drink a lot of it these days.
Yeah, because it makes, yeah.
It does
yeah
not make me feel great.
Yeah.
Also, I flush.
Because we're getting older.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. As Roy said, I'm mostly an IPA drinker if I'm
okay
drinking beer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite restaurant?
Probably Greenwell. It's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite part of town in Grand Rapids?
East Hills, center
East
of the
Hills
universe,
yep
where I live.
Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm.
One thing people probably don't know about you, you can't use the Afghanistan thing now because you gave it all
out
up
the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a really open person. I sometimes think people know more about me than they should.
Like no exciting hobbies or anything?
I'm not a hobby person. Maybe that's something that people should know.
Yeah.
I'm not a hobby person, and I hate when people ask me that. I don't craft.
I don't have a hobby either.
I cook on occasion only to nourish myself,
right,
but
to
not
eat
because
yep
my hobby is really eating and drinking around town with my friends.
That's
sometimes going
socializing
for walks.
I like
I'm trying
it
to replace some happy
yeah
hours with walking.
Yeah, I tried that too.
You
let
tried
me know how
past
it works
tense?
Yeah, let me know
okay
how that works for you.
Okay.
I wasn't going to drink Monday through Thursday, so that didn't happen.
Mm.
Last book you read?
Ready Player One.
Really? Are you so excited for the movie?
Yeah, I need to go see it now.
Yeah, they have a new one. There's a new one out too, right? New book out.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think so. It got lent to me by a friend, and I thought, this looks like a good vacation read, and it was great.
Okay. Favorite movie?
This is so nerdy. I really love the movie Elf. It's a Christmas thing.
That optimistic Elf.
It is one of the funniest things of my life. My Christmas tradition every year is to put up my tree the weekend after Thanksgiving, and I watch Elf, and I drink a little bubbly, and it's always a great experience.
Yeah. I typically like to do it like a month before Thanksgiving. So the staff loves it here when I do that. Yeah.
You start Christmas a month before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, not quite a month, but it's a couple weeks before.
That is really
Yeah. Impressive. Probably beginning of November. So yeah, basically a month.
Okay.
So, anything else you want to, any other parting words of wisdom, anything else that you want listeners to know?
Well, I mean, I can't let this opportunity go by without a plug for people to get involved in their local governments.
Right.
Boards and commissions are something that we are always looking for people. And I know everyone probably has this kind of idea that it's going to be really boring or really lame or something, but sometimes they are. I'm not going to lie, but that's all the reason why we need new people with new energy and new ideas to come be a part of things.
Well, how would people even start? Because that's, you know, I've heard Mayor Bliss talk about that too. Like, where would you even go to, like, you know, to get involved in local government?
Yeah, I would say go to your city's website and type in boards and or commissions. I'm sure they have a listing. I'm sure there's an application process. The state of Michigan even has an application process. They literally fill, I think, thousands of positions every year. And we need smart, interesting, educated people to fill these roles and to start speaking up and just speaking out loud the things that are going through their heads, because they're probably really smart thoughts that people just need to hear.
Yeah, and get involved. No, that's a big thing with us, too. Get involved in whatever way you can. Get involved. Support your community. If you're going to live here, then, you know, contribute here. So
absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us for this. You are one of my favorite people. Don't worry, I say that to everyone that comes on.
Okay, good.
So but, you know, join us next time for Happy Hour Hustle. We publish, post, what do you call it, Alex? Twice a month. Yeah, so Alex is the guy behind the microphone. So one of these days we're going to put him on in front of the microphone, and it's going to be fascinating for everyone. So cheers, everyone. Until next time.